I know that I don't know. I know how strong I am and how vulnerable it is to be in the presence, the gifts, and that of those around us in these times of pain. I have nothing to convince. I know that music says more than I could ever conjure up through word or deed. And I know that there is a sense of connection of spirit that unites us. Last Sunday, day before yesterday, I went to a Lutheran church here in Boulder, Colorado. And they sang Bach cantata called Wachet Auf, Sleepers Wake. And it was in German. And it's a piece I know very well. They used original instruments. And I haven't felt so attuned in many years. The intention, the liturgy, the performance was the best they knew. And I listened in the best way possible. But whether it be a child singing the songs of Hanukkah, the daily prayers of the Sufi, whether it is the incredible bhajans, I don't know if they're the same or they're not. I don't know what is right, but I do know what is righteous. I do know what is the integrity within sound and beauty to ignite, to evoke, and to invoke that which is the spirit of ourselves and to share it through music and sound, one with another. So in closing, I'd like to listen to a piece of music that is also on the album, inside the book Sound Spirit, called Crystal Meditations. And I must say I'll never forget a lady that called me a few years ago, and she said, I loved your crystal medications. I've used them for 20 years. And I must say that this piece, which is a passacaglia, for those of you who are musicians, and if you listen to it as a passacaglia, you'll see how it is built. But it evokes some of the sounds and some of the beauty that is always around us, whether it's from the crystal sound of the Antarctic to the crystalline belief that we are one now with eternity. Let's listen to Crystal Meditations. What a privilege it is to be able to listen, to incline thine ear. Sometimes the greatest thing we can deliver is silence, or just a simple hum. But I want to invite all of you to take time and just listen to what it is that you can do with a drone or a simple chord on your harp. To just hum and play an open fifth around it. Not for a minute, but for an hour. Attune yourself with what is the complete sense deep within those sounds. Don't look for it. You have to wait with no invocation and allow it to come to you. It's just the greatest privilege. And I look forward to meeting all of you again. My new book, Healing at the Speed of Sound, is kind of fast. It kind of tells you all these things you already know, but help put it together. And I may be in your community starting in the summer, the fall, or next winter to bring forth this message that we can live a sound life and we can find the relevance in the simple, the beautiful. For it is what we have within that allows us to share with those around us. I want to thank you for being good listeners. And Tina, if you'd wish to open the floor to... I hope I've given all of you this evening 50 new questions. And please don't ask them all tonight. But... if you have some questions or comments, I'm very open.
Great. Thank you, Don, so much. If anybody does have a question, please push one on your keypad and I'll take your questions. And until those questions come in, I just want to say I'm calling from Maui, from Hawaii, and taking some much-needed rest and relaxation here. And I'm looking out at the ocean, and when Don talked about the sea of life, like the ocean, and I'm looking at these little white caps just kind of rolling in, the speed of sound. And I'm thinking about the tribes, the Greek tribes that we've been studying, and how they heard the sound of the wind through the forest or through the plains. And what it's like to be sitting here and looking out at the ocean and having the sound of the water coming in off from each one of those rolling waves. And it's this process of taking that time of that long sound, not for just a few minutes, but for hours on end. So thank you, Don, for those wonderful images as I look out here to the ocean.
We're seeing it through your being.
Well, thank you. And the other thing I wanted to mention is that in our lives, we personally go through many joyous times and many hard times. And sometimes we may be in a very joyous place while other people are experiencing hardship. And we certainly see that when we're in the hospitals and in the hospice. And other times we ourselves are experiencing difficult times. And for me, I don't think there's any greater way to try to get myself out of some kind of a hard place. I have a file that is called Favorites. And every time I hear a song on my iTunes that resonates with me, that's in my resonant tone, and it just makes me feel really good, I quickly put it into a file called Favorites. And any time that I feel like I want to have a little cheering up, and get out of those hard places, and I just put on my favorite little group of songs and it does it. So I'm just sending that to you for anyone who might be experiencing any hard times right now, is to use music and use sound to bring yourself up. So I see some hands raised. I'm going to open the mic right now to Jan Hirsch. Jan, you have a question for Dawn or a comment?
Yes, Tina, I do. For many years now, I've been wondering about an experience I had. I've shared with you that I had cancer in 1997 and had massive doses of chemotherapy. And you know, I have studied music since I'm 5 years old, studied Bach alone for 7 years, and music was always such an important part of my life, and it's always, you know, filled my soul. But after the massive doses of chemotherapy, I found that I couldn't listen to music anymore, and I was comforted by silence and the gentle sounds of breezes, the sounds of birds, the sounds of running water. And it took a very long time before I could enjoy creative music again. And I was wondering if John had any insights into that experience.
I think that is one of the most important comments, because we all assume everyone hears music the way we do. And in these times of treatment, the whole auditory system, the eighth cranial nerve, the way that our sound impacts us is so different. And that's why I talk about silence as a major component to sound. My first cousin, who was closest to me, my closest family member, died of cancer. And in the year ahead of time, I mean, it was a very severe and aggressive cancer, and nothing seemed to help. She loved music. She sang music. And we selected all this music, and then a few weeks before she died, she said, "Don, don't play anything. It's too powerful. I need to hear the spirit in its own voice, not through music." And I think that we all know that even just an aspirin can cause a ringing in the ears. Aspirin could create tinnitus. Some people have allergies to wheat. But when we're on severe medication, we start listening inside of our body. We start listening to another world. And it may not be an easy world. It may not be always beautiful. And I think it's important to realize when we're in dark states, how music can bring us up. But even when we're in an emotional sense of ecstasy, music can ground us and bring us back to this incredible world. You know, I think each one of us have spent hundreds of billions of years hovering in other contexts, and it's such a privilege to be here with the pain, the pleasure, the challenge, and learning to tune our own human instrument. Some people can take that music all the way through. Others want silence. Some want loud music. Some barely need a tone or a note. And I think what you've said is one of the most profound things you could ever observe. And what you filter and take into music at this point in your life is so filtered and so beautifully refined that it would be a privilege to hear your sounds. Thank you.
Thank you so much. You have really comforted me and answered a question I've been pondering a long, long time, and I feel like I've just received an enlightenment. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jan. One of the things that we really stress in the program, when you're playing music in hospice or even in hospital, is that sometimes the people will say that they don't want music, and people need to realize that they don't take that personally, that this is the choice of the person, where that person is at, and maybe you think that the music is going to help them, but they really know best for themselves what it is. The other thing that we stress in the program is that less is more. So if you think of all of these sound vibrations that are coming off from those harp strings, and Jeff Volk will be talking a lot about cymatics and sounds in our next lecture, come to realize quite quickly that we can fill up the universe with a lot of sound, extra sound that we really need to be using. So being able to just be with somebody and support their breath at the end of life with maybe just one tone or two tones maybe at the most, that can be the most effective use of sound.
And, you know, that is true. It's very interesting. Sometimes at the end of life, people are on breathing machines. They're so loud that they can't even hear the music. And there are so many factors in the hospice environment, whether it be in their home or in a hospital. And to be a great listener and to know how to harmonize with those sounds, you may only have your voice. You may only have one or two notes between the turning on and turning off of some of these support systems. Just be aware and know that every moment is unique.
Right. I do. This is Margie Beckhoff from on. Margie is an immunologist. She's one of our mentors.
Hello, Margie. Nice to
Hi.
Talk to you. Did you get my tape?
I did. Thank you. And you surprised me when I signed on today. I thought, oh my gosh, that is Don. Anyway, hello. I just want to comment that this discussion just now on the silence and what you're emphasizing has been very powerful for me, because it's something that I try to let people know. You know, so many people want to say, oh, here's the harp. Oh, this is going to help. And there are times when I, you know, either I'm just playing one note and I'm trying to explain that even just playing one note with a very slow breath and then having the silence between is the value of the, quote, music, unquote. And so listening to this discussion supported that so much, because I sometimes do have trouble getting people to understand that, you know, that it's not always, quote, what they think of as music.
Exactly.
So thank you. Thank you.
Pleasure.
And thanks for your music too. I really appreciated the tapes.
I thought I had many more and I couldn't find them. So thank you very much for being patient with me, Margie.
Okay. Thanks. Bye bye, Tina.
Bye, Margie. Next we're going to go to Bambi Niles. Bambi is also one of our mentors. And Bambi, do you have a question or a comment for Don?
Sure do. Don, I had lunch with you out in San Diego at the last gathering, and very much enjoyed your company. I do have your Sound Spirit book that you were kind enough to autograph for me. My question is, I am looking at the Mozart Effect Resource Center website, and I am looking for your newest book, and I do not see it available.
It's not published until next February. I am going through editing from hell at this very moment, because the whole book is due on February 1st. So my new book, Healing at the Speed of Sound, will be out next fall. And let your bookstore know, or if you need a song and dance about it, just contact my office. But Sound Spirit was released about 2 years ago, and my next book will be part of a Penguin hardcover with the imprint of Hudson Street, and I think I've written too many books. And I probably will be incarnated in some place in the world with no trees next time. So I'm glad the electronic age is coming along, because you'll be able to read me on Nook and Amazon Kindle and iPad.
Wonderful, Don.
Forward to that. Thank you.
Okay. It looks like we've answered everybody's questions. So, Don, you have done so much for the field, and I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you so much.
It's just a privilege. And one thing I want to add at the very end here today is that 30 years ago, when I started this, I didn't start the field, but when I started it in my own life, the world looked at relaxation as a crazy thing, and that relaxation had anything to do with our health. We have come so far, so quickly, even though we feel like sometimes we're swimming in the mud of mediocrity, I must say we have come so far, so fast, and that with more people like yourselves out there going from the groans to the tones as we moan forward, it is happening, and we need every single person all the time.
We do. And as we go into our holiday season, I want to wish everybody a wonderful holiday, and I hope that the New Year's resolution for many of you is to get out there and spread the word of sound and music healing as a New Year's resolution. And with that, I'm going to open up the mic so that everybody can have a chance to, not too loud, folks, very quietly, everybody wish your best wishes to Don. Here you go, Don.
Merry Christmas.
Bye-bye. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Safe and happy New Year.
Blessings to you.
Holly Atala.
Happy New Year to everybody.
Hmm.